And next, we have AMI analysis using a proxy class, and this will be given by Wei Sing Huang from SPISIM. So, do you say SPISIM or SPISIM? SPISIM, thank you. Pointer there, the laser, this is forward, that's back.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Wei Sing Huang. I also use pen name Michael Huang. In the mailing list, in case I ask something stupid, I don't want people to link to my name. But I'm glad to have a chance to share with some modeling experience with you using the proxy class. I prepared about 15 slides, and I was allocated 30 minutes, so I'll probably use about 20 to 25 minutes and have some time for Q&A. But this is the agenda. So first, I will talk about the motivation, the background, and then the proxy class. So this is more on a software side, you know, for model development. And using this proxy class, we can do some experiment. I will mention about it, including the what you just suggested, using other languages like MATLAB Pro. Then I will give a summary and then Q&A. So background, when I read the IBIS spec, I noticed there are two rows. One is a simulation platform, normally circuit simulator. The other row is AMI model. So between these two rows, they communicate with the AMI spec using the reserve parameters. So the communication is between the simulation simulator and the individual models. Now for the back channel, sometimes we need the communication between different models, right? So that's why there are some new addition, the back channel interface using like a Firebase to let the TX model write something to the file and then read RX model read something. So the communication can be done between models without the intervention of a circuit simulator. Now we have also seen many discussion between different company about implementation. That's why right now this is still going on, not yet finalized. The discussion mainly because like you have so many legacy models. Are you going to recompile all of this, right? And all sometimes this role should belong to simulator rather than the AMI model. So there are some kind of a discussion. So summary of this page is right now in the spec we have simulator and models, these two roles. And then we will have another role which introduce communication between different models to achieve the co-optimization. Now, I want to, as a model developer, sometimes I want to have a mediator. Say, if I am a circuit simulator, I have all the C code. I load the TX model and I also load the RX model. So I can probably look at the waveform I send in and pass in, and then I can get the data. So as an EDA tool vendor, I have that advantage. So then if I am a TX model developer, I can see what circuit simulator pass in, and I know what I pass back. But I don't know if the RX model is not mine, then I don't know how they communicate. Then I have to wait until I see the simulation result. So that's the advantage if I am a model developer. I have a C code, I can see the data passing it out for my model. Today, if I am a user, I don't know the C code about the simulator and the individual model. I can only wait until the simulator give me the eye diagram. And if there is something wrong, then whether I should go back to the circuit simulator, give them this problem, they may tell me to go to the TX model vendor or go to the RX vendor. Because I don't know what's going on here. Right? So this is a problem for the end user. Also, now we have this co-optimization going on. And right now the spec is not finalized. So there are some situations here. First, if I only pay the perpetual license, my simulator may never get updated. Then how can I leverage this new spec or do some experiment? And what if I have existing model and I want to try out some kind of the mechanism mentioned in the co-optimization, how can I do that? Thirdly, mentioned about the interface and output the data file, right? If I'm a model user, how can I intercept the data between the for the communication between the simulator and the model so that I can probably for the debugging and identify the problem. So there are several gaps. I want to address. So the proposed approach here is the proxy class. This diagram, I will talk about this diagram. This diagram is a design pattern copied from the wiki. Now, this is a UML. So the dot line on the top is the basically has a relation. The solid line from the bottom to the top is a relation. So what this means is that a client has one or more subject on the top right, which has some interface. Then I have some of the class which implement this interface. Whenever client needs something, it calls a proxy, and proxy just delegate to the real subject. So this is what a UML means. Put it into the AMI context. A client can be a simulator. A simulator loads one or more AMI models. Each one of them implements certain interface, which is AMI API. I have a real model, which implements this API. I also have a proxy model, which implements this API. I give my proxy to the circuit simulator. So whenever simulator calls the proxy, I delegate the work to the real subject. Now, before I going on, so this proxy class is just a general description. The reason I use proxy is because later in the third example, you will see that we use a remote process. So we oftenly call remote proxy. But this kind of design pattern can be a wrapper. That means when the simulator calls the proxy can call a ProScript, can call the MATLAB or Python. The MATLAB and Python does not need to implement the AMI API. That's the wrapper. And or adapter or decorator pattern. That means if my model only supports AMI init, getWeb, and close, it does not support the AMI resolve and resolve close, then I can have something to do this for them. So I can have a simple layer just to do the AMI resolve and resolve close, and then all these existing models does not need to be recompiled. So this kind of a wrapper is generally the same pattern, but here because we are using the existing model, so we call it proxy. So both the proxy and the existing model implement the AMI API. The proxy is loaded by a circuit simulator. Whenever simulator calls a proxy model, I delegate to the real AMI model. Now, the proxy is something called man in the middle. We often hear the man in the middle attack. So this is like a communication, you intercept the communication. With the proxy, you can intercept the data call from the circuit simulator. I can change the data. You send me this data, but I can read some data from the file and pass this into the real model. This is very good for debugging purpose. Or I can capture the data. You send me the data, I send it to the file, response, and I send it to the file, then I know what the input and output response. Or I can change the flow. Instead of calling you getWeb once, later on you will see I can call it many times of different flow. So the proxy class can be used to do this kind of purpose. So the kind of not clear, but basically what I, the code here is what you will see, usually will see in the circuit simulator. These are C code. So first of all, if in the circuit simulator, in order to load the AMI model, you need to define the prototype for, in this case, only those three. You need getWeb and close. You then need to find that. So this functional prototype, and then in the main body, this is a Windows platform, so you call the load library, which is load the DLL. And then, of course, you need to check whether it's a null or not. Then you find, try to identify whether the get in, the init is there. It must be there. And if the getWeb exists, then getWeb function should be there. Then you call the getWeb function and finally close. So if this code should be there in the simulation platform. Now in the proxy, we should also have this code because whenever simulator call the proxy, I do the same thing like simulator. I load the actual AMI model. And before I call them or after I call them, I do something. So this is basically what a proxy class looks like without doing extra stuff. With this proxy class, I can do some experiment. The first one is a consistency and stress test. So as a software person by trade, I want my code to be clean, meaning whenever I allocate the memory, I want to free the memory. I don't want to have a dangling pointer. Also, when you read a IMS spec, particularly in the gateway, when you have a many long sequence bit stream, right? The spec say the simulator can break up the bit sequence into different chunks. If your model is a LTI model, the FFE or CTLE, it should not be history dependent, right? So every time you have the same data, you should produce the same result. So you can, unless you have a memory corruption and some issue. That's why the first test we can do is a consistent test. You can see here in the middle, even though this proxy class just get called by simulator once, but here we loop, say, 10,000 times or even more. Then within this 10,000 times, we back up the data, then we repeatedly send the same data to the model, and we expect the same result. This is a consistency test. The second is stress test. If my model just keep allocating memory without releasing, when you read around such a long time, you in the window you monitor the resource window, you will see your memory usually keep going up. We definitely don't want this to happen because at some point if you run out of memory, then you will crash. So by using this proxy class, we can modify the flow, call different function many times, and then we can see whether the memory stay consistent. That passed the consistency and stress test. Next experiment, I want to emphasize that these experiments are for model developing perspective. So we are not intending to change the spec or whatever. It's a convenient tool for model developer or maybe end user to do some kind of experiment. The second experiment we want to do is like a code optimization. So we have seen this slide, I believe this is from this slide. They have a white paper. I have this at the back of the PowerPoint. But you can see the flow. Basically, the TX model received some impulse response in this case, or the bit sequence in the gateway case. Now, for TX, right, and some of the probably the RX like a CTLE, these are LTI function. And usually what we do is we do the convolution, regardless if you are in pulse or if you get a bit sequence, we do the convolution. Now convolution is a commutative process. So this is the upper right. That means that you can change the order. You convert this A first or B first, it does not matter. So if that's the case, then we can create a proxy model. The proxy model just returns whatever it gets. Basically, it does not change anything. In frequency response, this will be a delta response. So it basically just bypass the init pulse or the bit sequence. And we can, the next step, the simulator will take the output from the TX and send it to the RX, right? Since we are not doing anything in the TX, we can combine the function within the RX. So we can have a proxy model to do the TX and RX all together. So the first TX, we use the proxy model just to return whatever we get. Basically, we do not change anything. Then we combine the function call of the original TX model and RX in the RX using another proxy. So why do we want to do this? Because when we, in the RX proxy model, again, we get called by the circuit simulator. Now, because we have not do anything regarding TX, so we can lump this response together within our control loop. Inside this loop, we can try different setting of number of tabs or weight and a different CTLE, the frequency response, etc. Basically, we do this, these two functions are inside the state call. We can do many manipulation directly, and finally probably print out the setting. So this way, without changing any surface simulator or any existing model, we introduce the middleman. And using this middleman, we can manipulate the parameters sent into the TX and RX, either for experiment or to do some optimization process. And the way we use this is because TX, usually LTI, we can delay that and combine that into with RX. Now the third experiment, so far what I have mentioned is stress test and the consistent test and within the same core co-optimization. They are in the same process, right? Meaning you run the simulator, they load this is in the same process. But actually the AI model is a binary. Whenever you get a call, you need to return the data. Where you get the data, it does not need to be in the same process. It can be a different thread on the same machine, right? It communicates through the port. Or it can be some server on the network. Before I go into detail, there are several possible applications for this. The first one is, for example, my model is written in MATLAB, right? And I need to use a MATLAB runtime. MATLAB runtime probably have a version dependency. I don't want to have all the machine install different MCR. So I can have some central server just take care of all the setting there. And then that server communicates through this proxy class. And this class, this machine doesn't need to install anything. So that's the first case. The second case is people talk about crashing, right? For example, like Java, we use a JVM, Java Virtual Machine. If Java Virtual Machine load the DLL and the DLL crash, it will bring down the whole system. So that usually we don't want that to happen. So by separating the process of the mathematical computation on a separate process or on a different machine, we avoid the simulator being crashed. The third one is possible, like I'm running on the Linux, but I want to debug on the Windows, so can I have like a server and the model in DLL rather than .so, and they just communicate the data through the sockets. So I don't need to recompile the SO because I say prefer using Visual Studio. So there are several scenarios. Now, so this is when you use the circuit simulator, ideally the proxy class we just mentioned, I can write the executable, right? So why bother using the proxy? Because the circuit simulator will pass the AMI file. It will do this range check and then form the value parameter and value pair send to the models. So we want to leverage that. I don't want to rewrite the AMI parser. For circuit simulator, they also do the post-processing. So they take the result, they can generate the I. So sometimes I also want to leverage that. So we can do that using this kind of proxy class. So the idea is that you have a circuit simulator, load the proxy. The proxy actually is just a client. It queries the data from somewhere else. In this example, that process is not in this process. It can be the different process on the same machine or the different machine on the network. We can use the circuit simulator to post-process. So this way, we have a separate process, which is persistent. So this probably is more apparent. So on the right-hand side is a circuit simulator. You load a proxy, and then you just operate as before. You send something to the gateway and get a result, and then you do the post-processing, computer high, I will speed array, best time, etc. And then this can be looping, so it can be called many times. But every time it calls a gateway, actually this is a client. It queries the data. In our example, we use a socket, go to some other process like a server. So this process on the left hand side is persistent. It never go away until it reaches some stable or the optimized setting. So on the right hand side, you keep looping and then on the left-hand side is a persistent. It can based on the parameter I send to the simulator, and then post-processing the result from the simulator to decide which setting I can use for next iteration. Without this, the common approach probably you do the parameter sweep for the MI file and generate a bunch of runs in advance. So that's another possibility. But here, we can have a persistent class, and then you can leverage the simulator post-processing result before determining what next setting to pass into the proxy class at the client side. So this is a code snippet. So in the middle section, the graded part, actually it's not important. So actually this is the socket. So when we get the gateway call from the simulator, we convert the data pointer array into some kind of message, send a message using the socket to somewhere else. And then that server will do this actual mathematical computation and then send back. And once we have this the data get back, we return back to the circuit simulator. Circuit simulator does not need to know this process actually is not doing the work. It's actually somewhere else doing the process. So summary, the process class is used for modeling strategy for a modeler to debug their AI model. Process class is also relatively easy. It does not involve any mathematics. So process class can be developed very quickly, and then you can call your MATLAB Pro or other script language, then return the model to a circuit simulator. And this kind of process class can capture the data, can pre-processing, post-processing the data, or even change the simulation flow within the modeling. And because this kind of proxy is kind of adapter, it can add function on top of your existing AMI model and can be applied to the simulator and model you have. So using this process class, we have done some experiments. The first one is the consistency and stress test, just to make sure our model quality is good. The second is the code optimization within the same process, basically leveraging the community of the convolution, and then combine the TXRX. Of course, the user needs to combine the parameter, the model-specific parameter together, so that the gateway code will get all the settings. The third one is an example, the AMI processing function does not need to be done locally or in the same process. It can be done different process within the same machine or even some machine over the network. And here are some reference. So I have any questions?
Does your second analysis, does it depend on the user turning off TX equalization? Looked like it did, but I
no. The second. So here, because we can use a two proxy class, right? So in the first TX, even user didn't turn off. Our proxy class just return whatever they get. They never call the actual TX model. So it's like there's no equalization.
But the problem I have with that is that your RX model is getting the impulse response from the EDA.
Right.
And if the TX EQ has not been turned off, then that impulse response is going to include its effects.
So TX EQ whether turn off or not is irrelevant because we use the you can turn it off, or in this case, we use a proxy class. So proxy class, the TX proxy never called a real TX. It just returns whatever you get. So there's no equalization.
Oh, I see. So when the EDA tool interacts with your TX proxy class, somehow your RX proxy class through IPC or some other communication method has instructed it to just reflect it back and not.
So this is a TX model, just return whatever you get. So there is no, the TX is not doing anything. And we run the function, the two models, into the RX core. So in the RX proxy, in the RX proxy, actually you have a pointer handle to both TX and RX. There you can manipulate the data in terms of weight or...
So between the two cases where the TX is wanting to have its EQ turned off so as to provide this delta function, and the second case where it actually wants to run normally because now the simulation is going, is it your RX proxy model that is reaching over and controlling it and putting it into one of those two states? Is that how this
works? So the first one, they two are lumped together. The second one is already turned on, so the RX is not instructing TX to do it. We can discuss.
Can you go to, I think, slide 2, where you talk about where 147?
This one?
No, go back to that one, sorry. Okay. Bird 147 is written so that it'll run on simulators that support 6.0.
That's right.
So you do not need a, so if that's what you have, or even an earlier tool, models that are written to Bird 147 will work and have communication to the TX and RX.
So I don't need to change the simulator or the model? What if my model does not support a PCI protocol?
No, it's the way Bird 147 works is you just pass to the a parameter, you just pass to both the TX and the RX, the name of the AMI, the name of the text file.
Right, but what if my AMI model does not support a PCI protocol?
Nothing to do with PCI protocol. All you do is you pass in to both models, if two models support a particular protocol, it just can be model-specific parameters that just give the name of the file and they'll communicate with each other independently.
So already, I think he's saying if you don't have that capability to write that file, or for example, I think today's model or yesterday's model.
Legacy model.
Yeah, legacy model.
Any more questions, comments? If not, thanks for your attention.